Let us pray. Father, Lord Jesus, breathe on us, O God, that we may be filled with your Spirit and be led by your living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord God, I ask that you bless the words of my lips, meditation of our hearts, and we ask these things again in his name. And in his name, Father, amen. This morning, preachers in the early service, if you go into the fellowship hall on the windowsill, you know, by the sink, that's one of those little bitty tiny Jesuses. Said when she sees that, it reminds her of Lonnie Walters. I said, Jesus? She said, yeah. We said Lonnie was the first one to give her a little Jesus like that. Said, you know, as she's passing by or going down, she sees the big cross out by the interstate. I don't remember the man who was mostly responsible. Said, it reminds her, you know, of him. I said, well, that's all well and good, but none of that reminds you of Jesus? So, oh, yeah, you know, after. You know, so I'm praying for you, Pete. You know, but the reason I'm sharing that, reading the Bible, you know, reading my Bible this week, you know, get these little mess, you know, these little things, you know, it says, gosh, you know, a little deeper meaning in them. I'm in reset today, you know, and reset like from, okay, last week to reset our thinking to be still, and why? To be still and know that he is God. You know, so it's another kind of reset today. We'll be in the book of Deuteronomy. In the book of Deuteronomy, you know, it's getting close to the end of Moses' life. We know Moses' story, you know, saved from the river, you know, given to Pharaoh's, you know, Pharaoh's daughter saved him, given back to his mother. You know, God calls him, you know, to save the people, save the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. You know, and lead them into the promised land. But what happens? They get there, you know, and they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen, you know, and they wouldn't trust God, you know, and they ended up wandering the wilderness, you know, the desert for 40 years, you know. And after all that time, you know, it's now time, it's getting close to the end of Moses' life. And he knows his time is short, you know. So Deuteronomy, he's encouraging the people, you know, that's kind of what Deuteronomy is about. You know, at the end of Deuteronomy, what happens? Moses dies. You know, you say God has a sense of humor. You know, Moses dies. He's led the people for 40 years. God takes him up on the mountain, up on a mountain, says, look at this, Moses. Sorry, bub, you're not going in. You know, after all that time, you know, he's not going in, but Moses dies. And Joshua takes Moses' place. Now, Joshua was ready on day one. You know, when they got to the Jordan, you know, on day one, Joshua was one of the spies that went in. Joshua was ready to say, hey, you know, yeah, there's, you know, all those people in there, you know, but we got this. We have God. You know, we can do it. But what happened? His voice was drowned out by all the other ones saying, no, we can't do this. You know, so they end up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. We have Deuteronomy, our verse today, Deuteronomy 1:8. See, I have set the land before you. Go in and take possession of the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them, and to their offspring after them. You know, that's our, now we're going to focus on that today. You know, they get there. They finally go in, you know, the Israelites, and, you know, they possess the promised land. All of them, you know, together, you know, all of them. And God wants you to do something today. You know, has a message. This is what, okay, God has told me today. Okay, I'm going to say, Aaron, you know, I'm not getting it. You know, but you're going to get it. You know, you're going to get it. You know, God has a message, you know. He wants you to do something, but he also wants us as a church to do something collectively. You know, Deuteronomy 1:8. You know, the way I had it, and that's from, I think, the English Standard, says, see, I have set before you. But King James has, behold, I kind of like, behold what I have set before you. Now, the definition of behold here is intense focus. Behold what I have set before you. Intense focus. What is our intense focus on? God, your intense focus on God and your relationship with Father, Son, Spirit. Do you have an intense focus on your relationship with God? You know, and I don't know about y'all, you know, but I've heard a lot lately, you know, there's so many things, people, enemies that do not want us to have that relationship, do not want us to have that intense focus. This past Wednesday, you know, I told them, you know, I said, you know, this week, you know, last week, you know, I said, I couldn't believe it. You know, two preachers, you know, I saw title of their message. One was, Jesus really should not have said that. You know, and the other one was, Jesus did not really mean that. You know, I said, oh my gosh, you know, I got to just get a little bit of what, you know, what this is about. And both of them kind of focused on when Jesus said, you know, no one comes to the Father except through him. Both of them was kind of like, no, he didn't really mean that. He didn't mean it that way. One of them was saying Jesus just shouldn't have said it. You know, and the other one was, well, you know, he didn't really mean that. You know, and I think, oh, you and these are preachers from a denomination. They were not United Methodists, although I kind of would have expected that. Okay, I'm sorry I said that. You know, but, you know, they were from another denomination. But also, you know, kind of got into a discussion online. There was, you know, I don't remember where it was at online, but there was a guy, he had this hatred for God. You know, I don't remember how it started, but it just seemed like he had this intense hatred for God. And I just asked him, how do you, you know, and he had said he was an atheist, you know, that God doesn't exist. I said, how do you hate something or someone that doesn't exist? How do you do that? You know, if you hate something or somebody, that means they exist. If you hate God for whatever reason, something's happened in your life, and you hate God, then you're admitting that God exists. No, God doesn't exist. Then get out of the conversation, brother. You cannot hate something, you know, that does not exist. You know, but that people, you know, some preachers, that gets me. You know, some preachers, you know, it's just we're danger to the church. You know, Paul said we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but what? Against rulers, authorities, cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. You know, I've talked to people who say, hey, you know, I'm just too old. Yeah, I've had enough. Some people say, hey, I'm just too young. I haven't got there yet. You know, and some people, I think, somewhere along the way in their life on the journey, someone poked them in their eye by telling them something, and they just don't even try anymore. You know, and what I'm talking about trying is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God always begins with seeing and beholding. Intense focus. Worship begins not with singing, but intense focus. Intense focus on Father, Son, Spirit and your relationship with them. You know, that yeah, we sing. You know, when I sing, I stand back from the microphone, you know, so y'all don't hear me. You know, some sing with all they got, no matter how, you know, and I love singing. You know, some sing with all they got, you know, even though they sing terrible. Some sing with all they got because they know they have beautiful voices. Some don't sing at all because one, they're embarrassed about their voice, or two, they just don't see it yet. They've given up. And they don't have that intense focus on Father, Son, Spirit. Life begins with seeing. My grandson went and got new glasses the other day, got a different prescription. He said, wow, you know, yeah, I can see better. It's, you know, it's good. And this old man down south, he had cataract surgery. When I checked on him the next day, he said, man, Aaron, you know, I said, you doing okay? He said, yeah. So that alarm clock I've had in my bed for years, the numbers are red. You know, all this time, I thought they were just white or gray, but they're red. You know, I can see. Intense focus. Intense focus, people. Father, Son, Spirit. I once was blind, but now I see. Can you see what God has for you? The Israelites, you know, they had been making laps. They'd been doing circles in the wilderness for 40 years because they just could not see what God had for them. God had given them something. And said, okay, now go and take it. God is telling us today, individually and collectively as a church, I have given you something. Now go and take it. Go in and possess it. Take it. And what has God given us? One, his Son. That even though while we were yet sinners, he came here and he died for us. But now what? Your faith. Your faith in Father, Son, Spirit. To behold that intense focus. To go in and take it. Book of Exodus, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Then it gets to this, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me. And I've also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And he brought them to that good and spacious land flowing with milk and honey. But they couldn't see it. Can you see what's before you? A good and spacious land flowing with milk and honey that God has prepared just for you. And it may not be riches as the world defines riches, but an abundance. A place where you can settle, Rayville, Louisiana. A place where you can plant and a place where you can harvest. You get to the book of Joshua, you know, and what did they do? They crossed the Jordan River. You know, when they crossed the Jordan River, what happens as soon as they cross? The manna ends. The vacation's over. You know, they see the fruit. They see the produce. They kind of see, you know, the milk and the honey. And even though they didn't plant it, even though they didn't till, even though they did nothing, they can eat it. But the manna ends. But they're there now. They can plant. They can do the work. They can harvest. And he says, this is your land. Go in and possess it. You clear it. You till it. You plant it, you nourish it, you water it, watch it grow. You plant it, you tend it, you water it, watch it grow, watch it multiply. And he said, I want you to serve me there. I want you to serve me there. That's us. He's put us in a place flowing with milk and honey. And if you don't believe me, ask Meta. Everything's flowing with milk and honey these days. And he says, I want you to worship me here. Worship me there. To be a witness for me, for all those people out there that do not have that intense focus. For all those people who do not know me. And this is God's vision for each and every one of you, for us. That God does not want us out there running in circles. God does not want us out there doing laps. When God told them and they said, no, we would rather stay here in the wilderness. God told them, go in and take possession. But they said, no. God just wanted them to believe in the journey. God wanted them to believe in the God that sent the plagues on Pharaoh that led them out. God wanted them to believe in the same God that parted the Red Sea, that led them across on dry ground. God wanted them to believe in the same God that closed the waters over their enemies. The same God who gave them a cloud by day and fire by night to follow him. The same God that gave them manna is the same God that would lead them in victory over every challenge they would face on a journey. And that was the same God that God telling them to go in and possess. Now, if there had never been any challenges, how closely do you think they would have stayed to God? We see that in Scripture. There's not challenges. They drift away from God. When we're in that zone, you know, our bank account's overflowing, you know, our retirement's building, when the kids are, say, kids or grandkids, bringing home all A's and B's, when you're in that zone, it's easy to lose that focus, that intense focus on God, on our relationship with God. But one phone call, and we're on our knees. God is saying, I want you to stay close. Yes, there's going to be challenges, but do not worry. God's saying, I've already overcome every challenge. And with him, we can overcome every challenge. You know, okay, getting back to our verse, Deuteronomy 1:8, it says, go in and possess. You know, when I read this, the definition of possess in this, the way it meant, was driving out all previous tenants and possessing in their place. Do you have previous tenants that are still in your life? You know, if you are saved, hey, how many people are saved? Oh, gosh. You know, if you are saved today, you are in Christ. You are in the promised land right where you are sitting at right now. But, you are not alone. Once again, there's enemies out there. And what's the enemy come to do? To steal, kill, and destroy. He's loose on this earth right now. And even though you're saved, especially since you are saved, the enemy is after you. And you know, I have people tell me, Aaron, you know, I never get tempted. I said, oh gosh, brother. If you've never been tempted, you better watch out. You know, because if you're in Christ, he's going to come after you. If he's not after you, it means he's already got you. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. More so because you are saved. That yes, there's going to be challenges in this fallen world. And what God is asking today, is there anything in your life that needs to be gotten rid of? So much of what we preach and teach is grace to influence. And yes, grace, the unmerited, undeserved love of God, the favor of God. We cannot earn our way into heaven. We did not work our way up to God. God came down to us. And yes, there is grace. And God wants to activate that grace in us into works. We are not saved by works, but we're saved for works. You do not get saved because of anything you do. But once you are saved, then you have to do something. You know, I heard somebody this week say the gospel is give and take. That God has given us something, and now it's our responsibility to go and take. Intense focus. What has God given us? His son. He's also given us our faith. But habits come into our lives. Some good, some bad. Some, in the name of Jesus, we just need to kick out and say, go, get out of my life. To go in and possess what God has given us. And once again, what? His son and our faith. You know, some people are living on lies. And, you know, and lies that God has not given you. Anything that does not honor God, we need to get rid of. Ephesians 2. For by grace you've been saved through faith, not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. From the book of Philippians, Therefore, God has highly exalted him, bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, that God has given it. God has given it. Now it's our responsibility to go in and possess it. If I gave you the land, now go and get the land. Clear it of anything and everything that is not of God, that is not of the Holy Spirit, and does not honor Jesus. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Not out in the wilderness, making laps, going in circles, where we see the same scenery year after year, and we know there's a land flowing with milk and honey. We know there's an abundance. We know there's good and spacious land. We just don't want to do the work that takes to get there. But God is saying you today, do you one more time, need to cross the river? And I know some cannot swim. Some just do not want to get their feet wet. Some would rather make an alliance with non-Yahweh honoring people than to put up the struggle or to fight and tell, you know, and just tell God, okay, God, I'm just good right where I'm at. We cannot be that church. We cannot be any of those people. But there's other people in the story. There's people in the story that say, I would just rather make an alliance with those non-honoring God people than to resist or put up a fight. But we cannot be any of those going in circles. Another question, what lie have you given a seat at your table? And a lie is only as powerful as the person who repeats it. I had somebody tell me, you know, somewhere along the way, somebody told them they would never amount to anything. Said that lie is only as powerful as if you repeat it. Somebody tells you that, only if you say it to yourself. Do not let any lies have a seat at your table. And how do you know those lies? Open up God's word. Read it, study it, and know it. But no, God has given you the land, and it is our responsibility to cross the river and go in and possess it. You were created by God, for God. You are a son or daughter of the living God. Are you willing to put in the work to cross the river so you can be in a relationship, intense relationship with him? If our lives have just become listening to a podcast while blow-drying your hair for 5 minutes, doesn't take me that long. A quick minute read with your coffee in the morning, because it's just easy. That's manna. And it's amazing. You know, and I love it when I can listen to someone at any time. But people that still being on the other side of the river and not crossing. I heard someone say that's what you call room service. Room service, what's that? I don't know if you can still get room service at hotels anymore. Not the ones I stay at least. But I remember those times, you know, we're staying at a hotel, you know, you get room service, you know, you call, you know, and they come and they roll a little cart, you know, into your room. You're there in your shorts, so you know, your bathrobe, you know, or you know, your pajamas. They just roll it in, you know, and leave the cart and walk off, or they bring it in, sit it on the table, and you just sit there and you don't do anything. You know, you can sit there and sip your coffee in your room. That's room service. Room service is over, people. Vacation, it's over. It's time to open God's word and get into it so you know. So you know when someone's telling you a lie, so you know if you're letting a lie get a seat at your table. What legacy do we want to leave? What today needs to be evicted? Do we have squatters in our land? Do you need to serve an eviction notice in the name of Jesus Christ to get off my land, out of my mind, out of my marriage, out of my life? God has given it. Now go and take it. You cannot just sit back and do nothing. To wake up and believe in the power of God. The power to go in and take it. Now, along the way, Moses, I think, had to fight maybe two kings, to get to the promised land. But once they crossed the river, Joshua and the Israelites had to fight and defeat over 31 kings. Into the promised land, there were challenges. Even though we're in the promised land today, there's going to be challenges. But God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So one more time. Do you need to cross the Jordan River one more time and take possession of what God has given you? Your faith in his son. Let us pray. Father, Lord God, we just give you thanks for this day and every day, most holy God. Lord God, be with each and every one of us, Lord God, and even those who are not here. May they take time out of their day to be still and know that you are God, and to have that intense focus on our relationship with you, Father, Son, Spirit, in your Son's holy and life-giving name, amen.